The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, apparently on the wrong side to many people. On the right side, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than the producer. What's happening?
Nothing much. That is really messing with people, huh?
It continues.
The side thing.
It continues. People are adamant that I'm on the wrong side because apparently there's an unwritten rule that the host should be where you're sitting. But I did not get the memo on that.
We're also all over the place here at VSiN. We don't really have that consistent at all. So guess what? Give it a week. I guarantee you'll forget about it.
Sweet Lou Finicaro said that we, as a gag, should switch sides every day or like mess up people. On the show today, college football and baseball with Jonathan Von Tobel, our own JVT. Some Major League Baseball and NFL with Will Hill coming up as well. Teaser time. We will talk teasers. I don't know that we usually talk about it on a Wednesday. Usually we reserve teasers for Tuesdays to get the alliteration in there, but we're doing it today. We'll define Stanford Wong teasers for you as well, for those who are unaware of what those are. NFL awards draft. Oh, this is good. You and me.
I'm pumped.
In a draft, mano a mano.
Yeah.
What are the rules? We each get to pick. These are just award markets.
Okay. We have a $1,000 bankroll. Okay?
Yes.
$1,000 bankroll. 10 bets that we can make, okay? We have to make at least 5 today for this draft.
Okay.
And then we can leave up to 5 spots open to add throughout the season.
Okay. I have a strategy. Just knee-jerk strategy I just came up with.
Okay.
All right. And then Jason Weingarten a little later on. Jason is prepared. The smoke might not be as heavy today. He's got some Major League Baseball and NFL awards to discuss about his article at VSiN.com. We'll do that. We start as we have each and every day. This week and last week with the U.S. Open, the greatest show in sports, and as has been the case for us, one of the great betting vehicles of them all. And yesterday, another winner, Taylor Fritz, as a +147 dog, gets it done in 4 sets against Sasha Zverev. That was massive for us once again as the winning continues. So Taylor Fritz gets to his first ever Grand Slam semifinal. He will take on Francis Tiafoe, who advanced his first, by the way, Grand Slam semifinal. He advanced by walkover. Thought about you, Kelly.
Yeah.
By walkover. Grigor Dimitrov couldn't continue. Tiafoe was up 2-1, was up a break, and Dimitrov had it at that point. I think it was even a second break at that point. So that is what the first men's semifinal will be. So a winner on Fritz. We were not involved in the Dimitrov-Tiafoe match. We lost one of our quarter bets yesterday. Mm. We lost on Paula Badosa at +550. Now, here was the thing that I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Somebody had tweeted in, hey, I have both Badosa and Muhova in their respective quarters in a parlay, 200 to win 13,000. What should I do? And I said yesterday on the show, what I actually tweeted him back was, and I usually don't get involved in hedging discussions on Twitter because I don't want to sort of weigh in on somebody's personal bets.
Sure. Yep.
But in this case, I said to him, I go, probably bet a little on Emma Navarro just in case.
I agree with you. I don't like to give people too much advice on that, but you can give them, you can lay it out for the, hey, if you wanted to hedge, this is how you would do it.
And that's what I did. I said, put a little on Emma Navarro, up to you how much your outlay, a little more, a little more than more, if you will, a little more than just a little, I should say. And, in the end, what ends up happening is, and I felt for poor Zach because Zach had Badosa in the match as well. And as someone who has had, and this is the thing about bad beats in sports betting, it doesn't have to just be tennis. When someone else is having a bad beat and they're having a relentless run of bad beats, your reaction tends to be, oh, this person is exaggerating, right? Mm. Oh, bad beat's always a bad beat. No, trust me, in tennis, there are... I've had at least 15 or 20 matches where we're right on the doorstep of winning and either someone quit, someone just gacked, the stage was too big, whatever it was. Because if you bet hundreds of tennis matches a year, it's going to happen that way. This wasn't a bad beat yesterday because it was only the second set. But Emma Navarro was up a set on Paula Badosa. She was up, Badosa was 5-1 in the second set. And she proceeded at that point to only get 5 points total for the next 6 games as Navarro came back and beat her and won the match, won that set 7-5. In fact, of those 5 points, I think the very first point was a Badosa point as well. So it was 24 of the last 28 points went to Navarro. Badosa said afterwards, because you're like, I mean, is this really, are you making this up that the stage was too big?
Yeah.
She actually said it afterwards. She's like, I'll get the exact quote here.
Because I heard Navarro afterward. Did you hear what she said afterward? I was pretty shocked. She didn't say it in a cocky fashion at all. But she was like, I thought it was going to be done in two.
She said she felt that Badosa was not as confident as she. She felt that there was a little something happening that she could get it done.
What I was like, man, that's a confident statement. Like, was there something she saw out there? Because I was only watching lightly. I didn't see anything.
Here's the quote from Badosa. The court became smaller. I had a lot of negative phrases in my head. I wanted to leave the court. That is ungood.
Yeah.
That is not good.
You know what? I'm glad to hear an athlete admit it, though. Like, I have never have a problem when athletes speak the truth like that. It becomes concerning when you're betting on them over a long period of time. But, like,
well,
it's better than just a BS garbage answer.
There's no way to handicap that is the point, right? There's no way. So I felt for poor Zach. Obviously, I felt for our futures bet on her winning the quarter. But I had this feeling about Badosa yesterday, and it turned out that was the case. Badosa, by the way, she had to say something because she was tearing up. She was welling up with tears on the court while it was happening. I saw none of this live because we were recording the Beating the Book Megapod yesterday. And thank you, everybody, for all the response on that. So I did see the replay, and it was just brutal to watch. I am very pumped today. Karolina Muchova is involved in the first match. That is our 10-1 in her quarter. So hopefully that future gets home. And for those of you who tweeted yesterday, who said not only did you have 10-1 on her to win that quarter, you have her at 100-1 in one case, and somebody else said they had her at 150-1. Good God, could you please tell me where you got these numbers? Not for this tournament, obviously, but for future tournaments, if I want to find out where a rogue tennis number might lie. The only play today is on the men's side once again, and this is again where I say it pays to be a subscriber at VSiN.com/picks. This is only for survivors. Every host, every guest, every sport, every bet on the network is at VSiN.com/picks. And with tennis, more often than not, we get a lot of good CLV, a lot of closing line value. That is good for those who are wondering, oh, big deal, closing line value. The more you're able to do that, the higher the rate that you're able to do that. The theory is, anyway, and the math will bear this out over time, the more successful you will be. Betting. Now, are there times we come in here and we're 5 cents behind a line? Sure, that happens, but it's never more than that, typically. Here's another case. Alex de Minaur is the play against Jack Draper. I kind of hinted at this play yesterday on the show when Zach was on. De Minaur, I got at minus 127 yesterday over Jack Draper. He's about minus 147 now. Here's the thing. If we're doing this correctly, you should not bet him at minus 147. Don't. If it's in the minus 130s, okay. But anything in the minus 140s, just to make it easy to think about, I would not bet this. Now, I know inevitably, even as I'm saying this, some people are going to bet him at minus 147.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that's kind of not the way we should do this. But that is the play. And again, if you are a subscriber at VSiN.com, VSiN.com/picks, again, every host, every guest, every sport, once again, with all of our plays.
Well, guess what? I'm going to stay away then today. I tailed you on Fritz yesterday. That was a nice hit. Let's move on. Yes, you're right. A 20 cent move that is not a habit you should get into.
Yeah. And the 20 cent move, for those who are like, hey, but when you had a plus 280 and then you said you can bet it at plus 250, that's not the same math.
Yeah,
on those
absolutely. Yeah,
so yeah. So in this case, I would stay away at this, but that's the play today. Alex de Minaur for subscribers who got it yesterday. That's the only play in tennis today. And obviously this is the back end of the quarterfinals. The other future we have going besides Muchova this morning for the quarter is Iga. To win the tournament, she's taking on Jessie Pegula a little later on. Greatest tournament ever. Wish we were in New York City.
What are your early thoughts on Fritz and Tiafoe? Because I'm excited. I mean, Americans men's tennis. Let's go.
Here's the thing. Besides this De Minaur match today, the demon, as they call him, every one of these other matches, the other three quarters today and the two semis that have already been established, the prices are all right.
Okay.
Like all of them are right where they should be, which is that Taylor Fritz is north of a $2 favorite against Francis Tiafoe, to answer your question. And I know there's like if you watch the McEnroe brothers on the main broadcast, without, you know, they're not looking at the data of these two. So it's like, oh, it's Tiafoe in New York. And by the way, that's why I stayed away from it, because I do have some respect for the whole Tiafoe on American soil thing. But against Taylor Fritz, the data is pretty lopsided. And how, so I think it's appropriately priced.
How bad does that dude just want to play without a shirt on? Because I feel
Tiafoe?
Like, oh, yeah, it's off as soon as like he gets to walk over. It's just like, oh, let me take the shirt off. And hey, I would, too. I would, too, if I looked like that.
A lot of guns.
A lot of guns.
At the U.S.
I mean, that's a good looking semifinal. I'm OK. I'm man enough to admit it.
Wow.
That is two good looking men right there.
Kelly Billen, everybody. With very honest assessment of things.
It's like Adam Scott in golf. You can't deny that.
It's a good-looking man.
Good-looking man.
maybe we should do a segment on this, Kelly. Just your guys that you think are good-looking.
Man crushes.
One thing before we get to the break, because we got to get to JBT here. Paul Skeens yesterday started for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates shut out the Cubs 5-0. Skeens went 5 innings of shutout ball, obviously. It was not the most efficient start for Skeens, but once again, 100 pitches, didn't give up a run. And just the question of, because I sort of slipped this in yesterday, we talked quickly about awards. I just have this sneaking suspicion. I go, we saw Jackson Barrels minus 1,000 in the NL Rookie of the Year market. I just have this sneaking suspicion that this is going to be closer than that market reflects.
And you've got Churio down to 12-1.
Churio had a great game. A couple people tweeted me that. He had a good game. We asked Jason about Jackson Churio's candidacy here, or his shots at getting the Rookie of the Year, not his candidacy. But I think Merrill probably squeaks home. But I just think there's a lot of sentiment for Skeens that still exists among voters.
I think Merrill squeaks home and Churio's not even close somehow.
I would agree with that. JBT, college football, baseball on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With college football already underway and the NFL kicking off tomorrow. Wow, fun to say. There's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course, more best bets. Grab our football season special and get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99. Can't beat that. See why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and watch or listen to us anywhere you go. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, this is our last day to do a show where there is no NFL game either that day or in the rear view.
Yeah!
Love.
Let's go! I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Colin Cowherd has this very famous line that he used to say behind the scenes, which is, they don't pay me for football season. They pay me for July, which I think sums up our lives here very appropriately.
I think you've dropped that roughly 18 times over the past 3 months.
I don't think I ever have on air.
Not on air.
Yeah,
not on air.
Never
not
on air. Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely a good line. Not only does our show get better, it gets easier when we get into football season.
That's right.
So yeah, it's amazing.
Do we need a stall tactic here for JVT, by the way?
Let's.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kelly's man crushes.
We are good to go, JVT.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow, top of the list, number one, Jonathan Von Tobel,
oh,
man crush.
What a
crush.
Segue. He's our NBA senior analyst, I should say, but also, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime and just a guy who knows more than just the NBA, college football, writes a lot about college football at VSiN.com and baseball as well. Jonathan Von Tobel joining us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, JVT?
We'll get back to JVT. Yeah, we'll go back to JVT.
Right. Can we show the...
Really can't hear us.
It's never too early to show the early September 3-day returns on the standings.
Never too early.
For MLB best record in the month of September. What is it, September 4th already? My God.
It's flying by.
We have three teams at the top. The Orioles, who have had the benefit of playing the White Sox. They're just cruising along, plus 24 on the run differential. You see, it's so early that I haven't even gotten around to putting in games left and one run scores. I haven't even bothered yet. Guardians are 3-0. By the way, how about the Guardians just turning around that threat by the Royals? They just punking them now. 3-0, also plus 13. early start. And the Mets, the Metropolitans, 3-0 with plus 10. Padres, Reds, and Phillies are 2-0. And then we, our bet, the Diamondbacks, they're the best of the 2-1 bunch. They are currently in seventh place at 25-1 odds. So there you go. Jonathan Von Tobel now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from his abode somewhere here in Las Vegas. What's happening, JVT?
Nothing much, guys. I'm excited. Obviously, football's here, but I'm glad that you are not letting baseball die. I keep talking to people and saying, oh, you know, it's football season. I don't know about baseball. No, no, no. This is a great season. There's so much going on. I will not let it die either. I'm very excited.
I could not be more excited for October. Obviously, the pennant races are happening right now, races for awards. Did you bet anything in baseball today, sir?
So I've only got one bet. I laid it with Spencer Arrighetti, affectionately known as Spaghetti, with the Houston Astros against Martinez and the Cincinnati Reds. About $1.35, and that's still plenty out there. And I don't know what the market's going to do with it now. But as you guys well know, and for your audience, Arrighetti, look, he's kind of all over the place at times. We saw him a couple of starts ago give up four in runs to the White Sox. But, dude, he might be their best pitcher. Like, the swing and miss stuff is absolutely incredible. The ability to generate double-digit strikeouts in any given start, he's done it in three of his last five. I trust him in against the lineup that Cincinnati Reds, bottom of the league, bottom 10, in terms of strikeout rate, weighted runs created plus. I think he's going to go out there and have a pretty solid showing after carrying a no-hitter against the Phillies deep into the eighth inning. So, yeah, Arrighetti and the Astros are the only bet I made today here. I'm going to go with Spaghetti and have him keep my Astros afloat here and get that division lead up to seven games. Just end these Mariners, these fools.
I assume, by the way, you're talking, quote unquote, my Astros. You have them to win the division. Is that it?
So I got him to win the division, and then as part of that free roll blackjack tournament, I've got a $7,000 free roll on him, 17-1. So
there it is.
We're very much pro Astros.
That's right. You were telling us that you
the
and the wife,
yes.
You and the wife, the whole household, the kids,
I mean,
everybody.
Even the kid. Yeah, I was going to say, even the kid. He's like, Astros. I'm like, yes. Let me tell you about Spencer Arrighetti and the pitch that Hunter Brown added to his arsenal that made him one of the better pitchers of baseball.
By the way, the best JVT family story is still you recognizing that you've officially become an old man when you fell asleep watching some game, and your son grabbed the remote.
Wasn't even a game. Like, yeah, it was a golf tournament. I fell asleep watching the golf tournament on a Sunday. It was what golf tournament was on Father's Day, but I fell asleep on that Sunday. Then I woke up, damn, watching that.
Yeah, U.S. Open. Yeah, you got to get the golf has to be added to the story. It's an important part.
If I could count the number of times that was said to me. okay, college football week two, sir. You have some thoughts and some bets.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, let's go to and part of week two, and generally week to week it happens, but I think week one to week two, you see the biggest jumps, which is, you know, the market does react to what we saw. It's our first time seeing these teams. We've pontificated and prognosticated and done all this stuff over the summer. We finally get to see them play. And I think we tend to freak out a little bit about some results. So let's go to a night game first. Oregon, Boise State. This is the first thing I was looking for on this card. If you go back, Oregon's win over Idaho State wasn't actually that bad. You know, they turned it over in the red zone. They had penalties. I think they were called for about eight penalties for 60 yards, missed field goals, stuffed on fourth down multiple times. But in terms of total yards, in terms of yards for play, in terms of trips to the red zone, they did a tremendous job. And so I think that score was a little misleading. But the market really seemed to freak out here. In this matchup against Boise State, guys, last week it was hung up at Oregon minus 24.5. It was as low as minus 18 once we got through the Sunday openers and some of the action. So I thought that was a little extreme. I laid 18. I still think it's playable, anything under 21. I think that when you look at the Oregon result, I don't want to react too much to it. And on the flip side, it's not like Boise State went out there and dominated Georgia Southern. They gave up over 450 yards, 45 points. They were a team that last year was 71st in EPA per play defensively. They were a very subpar team. They gave 6.1 yards per play. They are not, I believe, going to stop this Oregon offense. I think this is a massive overreaction for the market to say a week ago, like, yeah, we're fine with 24.5. And after one result in which both teams failed to cover, that we're going to knock this down to under 21. So I laid 18 again. I think 19.5 under 21, I think it's still playable. That was at the top of the list. And I think the other that is worth mentioning at this point right now, because I've bet a couple that moved, like Charlotte, North Carolina, I went under 48. It's down to 46.5. I think if it makes its way back up there, like to 48, I think that's a playable number. North Carolina's front seven's good, back of quarterback's not, and Charlotte offensively is still pretty beat up. But the other one, I was talking about this with Matt, Notre Dame taking on Northern Illinois. I think one of the things that Notre Dame is going to do is be somewhat Michigan-esque. There's no reason to show anything anymore, right? Like, you're going to be massive favorites going forward. Uh-huh. If you remember last year, Michigan was just running the ball, not showing anything, playing games boring, not covering numbers. And a lot of those games were going under. So I bet this game under 45. And I think that's a really solid way to go. If you're looking at that total, I think Notre Dame has no way that they're going to show anything. They're going to come out, just win a game in a really boring style and get out. And they're going to suffocate Northern Illinois. Playing that game under is a really strong angle, or betting Northern Illinois. But I think playing it under is the better way to go.
I sort of mentioned this last week. You might have even been on with me when I mentioned this. But my theory is that we know, I'm talking about like team sports, North American team sports, that we know the least about college football in the offseason versus every other sport. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was prior to the portal, right? I mean, you're talking about a bunch of young kids. Roster turnover is the highest amongst all these sports. And then now with the transfer portal, Gil, where you're getting new faces in from different schools, the key positions, it's insane.
I completely buy into that. Completely buy into it. The transfer portal has sent it into spiraled into a different place entirely. Before I let you go, it occurs to me that this is probably the last time we get to chat before Thursday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Do you have a bet on this game? Do you have thoughts on this game?
So I don't really have anything. I kind of, like, at least for Thursday, I've got some stuff for Sunday, but at least for Thursday, I kind of just want to sit back and watch. I do gravitate toward the simpleton thought of, like, you know, Chiefs minus 2.5 at home. It seems kind of easy. So I think I'm on that side. But for me, this is one where, like, Kansas City, we know it's changing offensively. They have some more speed. Baltimore, I think they're going to miss Mike McDonald, and I don't think they're going to be as effective on the back end. But I didn't know enough about these two, and I thought this number was tight enough that I didn't have a strong enough edge one way or the other.
What's your favorite play on Sunday that you have?
So we're going to go to – so it was Arizona catching that 7. And if it comes back, it'll be there. But for sure, I think in that game too, I think that's playable over. If you look at it, 47.5 are out there, 48.2. We'll see what the total does. I'm seeing if it's going to tick down. But Buffalo's got questions on the back end with their defensive backs, and I'm an Arizona guy. Like, I think their offense is going to be really good. I think Kyler Murray's undervalued. They fixed some stuff along the offensive line, and their own defense is susceptible. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I think it's going to be tight. So Arizona and the game over the total is at the top of my list, as well as Tennessee catching 4 against Chicago.
Yeah, I just bet that over yesterday as well. Added that to my week one slate, over 47.5. Agree with you completely, JVT. Think that's two good offenses, and the Bills a little banged up heading into early action here in the season.
Absolutely.
You in Survivor, John?
No. So I was debating. I'm going to have one more contest entry. I got a couple millions, but I'm going to go back in with one more millions. I think that I want to do that instead. I want to stick around. I can't lose in the first round. You know what I mean? I want part of the experience, but I want to laugh. And I think there's a little bit more fun testing your skill in something like the millions.
I love that you're convinced that you would be a one weekend done person in Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. At me, JVT, his Twitter handle. On the World Wide Web, the information superhighway, as they used to call it. Will Hill with all his bets across sports. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. The mothership.
That's right.
Kelly and I are just like, it's new kids. What's the expression? I don't even know.
I don't know where you're going.
I don't even know. But it's like, Christmas morning.
Yeah, seeing some of the crew back here, it's like a time machine. I feel like we showed up at the wrong studio. We should be down at South Point when you see Rob Moreno, Isaiah Wrinkle, and Wyatt Tomchak in the same room.
But again, a shout out to Sean McCollum and...
Oh, and Matt Hicks and Larry Muir doing awesome work, still doing awesome
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Stuck in a closet back at the D. But we still love him. Will Hill is here. We still love him. At not the Will Hill on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Will is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, where his guests are oh so familiar. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? 100th episode today. So exciting stuff. And I listen to your show all the time. I don't really watch. And I've heard all the comments about people being thrown off by you guys sitting on different sides. Now I see it. It feels like you ever try to put on like your right shoe on your left foot or vice versa, and immediately it doesn't fit right? That's kind of what this feels like. Right shoe on left foot here.
Well, thanks for starting off the segment with that. Yeah, now I feel awkward.
You know what I noticed, Gil?
Yeah.
Is our posture looks a whole lot better over here. I'm not doing like Larry King leaning or like slouched back in my chair.
I don't know what to do with my right arm, but other than that, we're good. Hey, Will, let me ask you a question here. Can't we put this in the rundown, but I'm also reminded that I got more than one tweet about this. That Francisco Lindor hits his 30th home run of the season, steals his 26th base last night in the Mets 7-2 win over the Red Sox. And I'm getting some people right on Twitter who are like, hey, Lindor, our buddy Chris Felica texts. He's joking, I think, right? Every time he texts about Lindor, he's like, MVP Francisco Lindor. This is not a thing, right? Like, he has no chance at this.
Yep. That'd be an interesting question. How many votes would he get if it ended now? Would he get some votes? He might get a couple. It's one of those things where should it be minus 2,000? Maybe not. But is Lindor actually going to win, barring something unforeseen? I don't think so. It's a great like sports talk radio debate. I mean, I could think back to like the late 90s, early 2000s. I could picture Mike and the Mad Dog doing 6 hours on this. The value of a defensive shortstop who also has power versus just the DH and what's more valuable. And I get all the debates. I think it was Buck Showalter, who's been extremely classy post Mets tenure. He's praised the manager, said he should be manager of the year, said Lindor would get his vote for MVP because he can go 0-for-4 and still win you a ballgame because of his defense. But ultimately, I think Lindor maybe gets a vote or two and Ohtani wins this, probably going in away here. And I think, if you ask Bear's probably tongue in cheek, but I know he thinks that Mookie Betts is just as valuable, if not more valuable, than Ohtani. So, I mean, Ohtani is on a loaded team. Are we overrating the steals a little bit? Like, do the steals matter as much as the defense? I think there's a case for Lindor. I just don't ultimately think he's going to win.
Yeah, but I'm always amused by people who, we've had these benchmarks, the baseball card stats of the Triple Crown numbers, home runs, RBIs, and batting average. We've always had the mythical 40-40 thing. Now, Shohei trying to do 50-50. I love this thing about people who are never into analytics, ignoring all of that stuff that they've been talking about for their entire lives and being like, what about war? Oh, war. It's very important. it's like, come on. No.
People are always going to look for whatever fits their angle, their narrative. And I asked you, I thought a great question, as I'm known to do, the other day when you were on with Holden Kushner and I, what do they open Shohei Ohtani MVP next year?
Yes.
Because you're going to add a whole new position, by the way. Oh, he's like a top five pitcher in the National League on top of the 50-50. And maybe he doesn't run as much because he's pitching. But I mean, can you make that even money? I don't know. 2-1 is just like an automatic bet. If you're the Gil Alexander Sportsbook, what do you open that line at?
Well, I'll tell you what I answered the other day when you guys asked me this, was that he would have to be in the same way that Wembanyama is minus $2.
I was just going
to
bring that up.
In the NBA Defensive Player of the Year, you would have to make Shohei that, because if you don't, first of all, everybody's betting it, right? Right.
You make a don't bet this line. Do not bet this, please. Minus 300. Yes, go away. Yeah. We don't want your bets.
That's right. So it would have to be north of $2 to start with, because as you said, it's like, let's take this guy who almost wins the Triple Crown, but gets 50-50. And now, oh, by the way, he's going to play the other position, the other major position in baseball, and he's going to do it at a near Cy Young level, probably. So it's like, it's just ridiculous, this guy.
Yeah. Wemby minus 180 for Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe Shohei's minus 150-ish.
I think minus 150 is too low as a start. Right. Yeah. I do.
I think they'll open it even money, but I don't know if that's the right line. Again, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. It's just, I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, we see these awards markets all the time. Like, wow, that guy's 3-1. That's shorter. He's 4-1. That's way too short. Like Mahomes, people are like, oh, I can't bet Mahomes at plus 475. That's way too short. Minus money for MVP, a season-long award. It's crazy to think about. It really is, but it's probably the right price.
What did you bet today in baseball?
I bet the Royals with Lugo going against Ben Lively. And it's interesting with Cleveland, man. A couple times this month, Minnesota got right there, about to tie them for the division. Cleveland got on a run, built themselves a nice little cushion. And the same thing, I think it was a week ago today, Kansas City was about to take the lead in division, to take first place. I know we were on that group text like, oh, Those Guardians division tickets are confetti now. And Kansas City, I think, was up 5-2 in the seventh or eighth inning. Cleveland comes back and wins that game to stay in first. And they've just kind of run away with it here. Where now we're in a position where we've got the AL East race, which I don't want to talk about, by the way. And we have the National League wild card race. Other than that, all of these races might be spoken for. But back to this handicap here, I just think Lugo at home against Lively. Lively, bottom of the league in velocity, exit velocity, doesn't get any chases, doesn't get any swings and misses. Royals obviously hit much better at home. Their offensive numbers at home are much better. And as somebody who's very unbiased, an unbiased observer of the American League Cy Young race, I think if Seth Lugo and Kansas City win this game today, you have to give them the Cy Young. I think you'd agree, right?
By the way, that's a good recall on that the Guardians had beaten, excuse me, the Royals had beaten the Guardians three times in a row.
Yep.
It was tied. And the Guardians needed a 5-run eighth to tie the fourth game around. It's a great point on that. You say you have no interest in talking about the AL East race, so let's talk about the AL East race. You are a Yankees fan. Are you feeling confident at all?
Confident in what?
Confident
in the other team when Clay Holmes comes in the game. I mean, it just, I don't know if you saw the ball DJ LeMahieu dropped to kind of start things off in the eighth inning. It's a ball like a little leaguer would have caught, and I'm not even exaggerating. I don't know. You start to get down on them. They rip off like 4 out of 5, and you start to feel good about them. They lose. They really missed the window of opportunity to expand the lead, and it's a good reminder going forward, and you talk about it a lot. You have a month with a soft schedule that doesn't always manifest, and they had this past month, this August, where they played the White Sox and the Angels and the Nationals and the Rockies, and man, they're going to run and hide. Well, they basically, you know, split those games and didn't run and hide. So I'd favor Baltimore just because Baltimore has the tiebreaker right now. I think it's a toss-up. I think Baltimore's now actually favored in the odds. I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees won, but look, I've been back and forth, and rightfully so, because both these teams have been so strange, so up and down. Right now, like, if you gave me truth serum, you asked me who wins the division, I think I'd say Baltimore.
Orioles -125, Yankees even money at DraftKings.
Week one, National Football League. Do you go pretty aggressively on week one? Do you hold it back? Is there no really pat answer to that question?
I'm less aggressive. I'm less aggressive because as much as we think we know, I mean, that doesn't mean that we're going to see it in week one. And these teams play less and less in the preseason. You have a good line, I think, of just, man, your natural instinct to take points should be the right one. It's probably the right one where, and you're going to lay points in these games, you're probably asking for trouble. So I'm a little less aggressive.
What did you end up with? What's the one you feel the most conviction on?
I like that under in Steelers-Falcons just because I think you've got two defensive coaches. You know, most coaches now, 4th and 2 from the 50, are going to go for it. These guys might punt. Russell Wilson's a perfect under quarterback because he's going to take care of the ball. He's not going to turn it over, but I don't know how much he's going to move the ball. Cousins coming off the Achilles against a pretty good pass rush. You figure they'll probably be conservative. And you know, the whole thing last year was they didn't give Bijan Robinson the ball enough. You figure they'll get him involved. Arthur Smith's a conservative offensive coordinator. I just think a lot adds up to, you know, 21-20, 2017 type of game. I like the under there.
Will Hill, not only the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, not only part of the Chris Felica Bear Bets Pod Empire over at Fox Sports, but a key cog in the Megapod wheel, the Beating the Book Megapod wheel. We had our first one yesterday, Will.
So much fun.
So much fun. Just a blast. Todd Wishnev, not annoying at all, by the way. Not at all. And Steve Fezzik was our first rotating guest of the year. So it was just, it was information. It was funny. It was awesome.
It was good because we all love Fez and respect Fez enough, but we all know him well enough where we can need him a little bit. It was just the perfect balance.
Yeah, I might have started that within 60 seconds by calling him something.
That was perfect. You just said it so casually. Yeah. And if anyone was wondering, hey, the first round of picks, is anyone going to try to steal a half a point? We make odds on it. The favorite cash there, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. You can imagine who that might have been. Last thing, 30 seconds, your favorite college football play of the weekend.
Under Michigan, Texas has gotten bet here, but I'd still lean that way. I think the only way Michigan can win this game is just run the ball, bleed the clock, hopefully steal a possession. Michigan team total under might be the better way to go, although I got burned on that last week with, I thought, a pretty good handicap with Notre Dame team total under. But I'll go Michigan, Texas under the 42.5.
Willie, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing the Megapod. Look forward to a great year doing that, man.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
At not the Will Hill. That's the with two E's. On the Twitter machine, if you want to check out Will's musings. Musings, the correct word? A little pithy remark that he has on there? Sure, musings. We'll come back. Speaking of musings, teaser time. Ready for this?
Yeah!
Teasers for week one in the National Football League. There are some, how can I put this, obvious spots, obvious in quotes, as obvious as they might seem, and then not so obvious ones. We'll see how we tackle this. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
I really want to emphasize this. If you're a type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you are looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. SportTrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. They're already live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. They are coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall, and I am jealous.
That is awesome.
Estoy muy celoso. Download Sportradrade and use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Sportradrade, -104 lines, high limits. Get it now. Alex Kane, the CEO, we will have him on at some point, either this week or next. Kelly is efforting such a thing.
Well, I've spoken with him, but as you kind of just alluded to, they are very busy with some exciting things coming up. So yeah,
busy man.
We will be working him in at some point. Excited to have Alex back on. Great hair.
Absolutely.
Always got to give a shout out. Got the dudes with great hair.
Great hair. By the way, someone on Twitter said you look like James Corden.
Yeah, I've gotten that before. The one that I get way too often is Seth Rogen.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not that
it bothers me, but it's just like I don't see it at all. You know what I mean?
Don't be too bothered, if you know what I mean.
I'll be out with a friend who actually looks like him.
Yeah.
So then they always say it to him, and I'm like, I just got to be out with you more often so I don't get this.
Hmm. Yeah. We'll get to your tweets here momentarily. Best listeners in the game. Love you guys. Again, good, bad. You can murder us as long as you're funny. We'll still read it.
Yep.
Teasers. Teaser. It's not Tuesday, though. It's teaser Wednesday. Teaser time.
It's teaser time.
Oh, I forgot how quick that was.
Yeah, this was real, real quick and snappy. Boom, boom, boom.
Nice job, Ryan. Great voice. Teaser time, which again, when we did, when Kelly and I did primetime action with Matt Brown some years ago, we lost Teaser Tuesday in the divorce.
Yeah, I just renamed it.
So
I forgot. Remember we were talking about that? Was it a couple weeks ago? Yeah. I couldn't remember. That's what I couldn't remember.
Kelly in the divorce proceedings just decided to be clever and call it teaser time. Now, here's the thing. We will, as we do this week after week, we will refer to something called Wong teasers, which I've been talking about on this show from its inception. Stanford Wong is the pseudonym of a gentleman by the name of John Ferguson, who lived in Southern California. And he wrote a book, Sharp Sports Betting. We talked about this on the Megapod yesterday. But he used the pseudonym Stanford Wong, which Steve Fezzik explained how he got there on the Megapod. But the definition was he wrote this book and he identified the most plus EV teaser legs back in the day. He did this like, you know, way back in the 90s. A Wong teaser is a, I don't know if you guys can put it there. Thank you guys. A Wong teaser is a 2-game 6-point teaser in which teasing the spread moves through the two key numbers of 3 and 7. In other words, and I'll ad lib here because it's not exactly right. It's a teaser involving favorites, home favorites specifically, of between 7.5 and 8.5 teased down through the 7 and 3, or underdogs either home or road of between 1.5 and 2.5. 2.5 points teased upward through the 3 and the 7. Now you'll see that one of the things that I omitted there, and just because don't take that definition verbatim, one of the things I omitted is this does not apply to road favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5 that you tease down through the 7 and 3. But those three teaser legs are the most tried and true. Now, when we say it now in 2024, we have to sort of add the caveat that things have changed. There are now 2-point conversions. Coaches handle that differently. And it's also total dependent, right?
Right.
So the lower the total, the more valuable those points are. And that should make intuitive sense that if a game is lined at, I'll just use a crazy example, if a game is lined at 60 versus 40, that the points in a 40-point lined game are going to be that much more valuable. So Kelly, on a week-to-week basis, will throw out teaser options, some of which will be Wong-ish, Wong-esque, not Wong-ish, they are Wong-esque, some of which will not be. Kelly has a poetic license to do this.
Yeah.
So for week one, what did you come up with, sir?
We started with, I just started top of the board and went down. So Ravens catching 2.5 in Kansas City tomorrow night. Packers 2.5 against the Eagles in Brazil, although that is dropping a little bit. That I think that got up to 3 yesterday and then got immediate Packers action and came back down. There are a couple 2s out there right now. Giants, same thing yesterday. I think that line got up to a flat 2 and then Giants money came back in, what was mainly 1.5s right now on that game. Even a couple ones out there. Bengals 8.5, although there are 7.5s out there right now with Jamar Chase news still looming. Big day for that, by the way. Practice, kind of official start of the regular work week for them. So if he's not there today, I think Sunday's very much in question. Colts catching 2.5 at home. Cowboys catching 2.5 on the road at Cleveland.
So these all qualify as Wong legs, Stanford Wong teaser legs. Again, we won't get into, oh, well, this one has this total and this one doesn't, just for the sake of time here on the show.
It's also moved, right? From like the original, yeah. And we've always talked about that the past couple years, where I don't know how much you really consider that when you're making your teaser plays.
I do a little bit,
but yeah. not really, unless we're talking well into the, like, and yeah. We're into the 50s, pretty much.
I just want to make people aware yeah. that these are sort of the guidelines, if you will, the guardrails of this kind of thing. So our task then is to come up with our favorite two-leg six-point teaser, right? We are limiting it to six-point teasers. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. We do this on the Megapod as well. By the way, everybody gives their favorite two-leg six-point teaser. So for me, the Bengals, no longer with the teaser protection of a -9 here, they are the obvious leg.
If there's no Ja'Marr Chase... Are they still the most obvious leg to you?
Yes, because okay. I don't know if you know this, they are playing an outfit that I like to call the New England Patriots.
Yep.
So the Bengals to me are the obvious anchor leg. What could possibly go wrong? As I say that way too confidently about the Patriots. So for me, it would be the Bengals and someone else. The problem is I don't love any of the other Wong legs. Like, you know, if you told me the Ravens got blown out by the Chiefs, would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't be. By the way, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens won it outright either. Right. But again, the week one uncertainty leads me to, like, would I be surprised if in Brazil on Friday night the Packers got beat by double digits by the Eagles? I would not. Would I be surprised if the lowly Giants, as, you know, as mediocre as the Vikings are expected to be, would I be surprised if the Giants got beat by double digits? I would not.
Oh, yep.
All right. And so it extends down. Cowboys and Brownies, same sort of thing. Sorry, Cowboys fans. Sorry, Dave Ross. Apologize for that. So for me, it became, all right, am I going to lose my wise guy card, as my Mishpucha Chrissy used to say? You're going to lose your wise guy card here by pairing one Wong leg with a non-Wonger.
Ooh, okay.
And so I will tell you what I did on the Megapod. And again, I encourage everybody to listen to the Beating the Book Megapod with me, Will, Todd, and Steve Fezzik this week. I went Bengals-Jets. I took the extra points with the Jets. I'm already, and this should correlate with your handicap on the game line itself. So I already have the Jets plus the points. So in this one case, I decided, you know what? I'm going to pair the Bengals with the Jets. The Jets catching 10 in this case, and I'll play it that way.
I think I play the plus 4.5 in teasers more than most people that yeah. we talk to. I do think getting through that 10, there is some value there. But the one I do have one. I think it's worth mentioning too, like teasers historically, not as valuable week one, early weeks, right? Just because everything you talked about with Will, right? How do you approach week one? Some people like to dial back, like to see these teams for a couple weeks first, like to see where the market's going to be rating these teams at, and then adjust properly with their teasers. So I've got one. It's not even playable right now, though. Bengals are teased down. I have the Vikings teased up because they were a dog when I bet it. They were a 1.5-point dog. So it's Bengals and Vikings is the one I actually played. The only ones I would have interest in, bottom of the board, are Colts and Cowboys. I do think you're going to get the Texans. You're getting the Texans coming into town in Indianapolis there. That's a... Man, it's showing Houston a lot of respect early on. I think there's been a lot of Texans money coming in, and you're still not seeing that move to that full three many places. That's kind of surprised me. I think the books are kind of making a stand at that 2.5. I think being able to tease up the Colts at home to 8.5 would interest me, but I don't have a bet in. And then Cowboys, we've talked about these past couple weeks. Are we sleeping on this team a little bit? I think so. And maybe. The Browns still got a lot to prove to me offensively of what they could do. Yes, the defense is scary. But in what I expect to be a lower scoring game, that 8.5 points could be big.
Yeah. I mean, that's the overriding theme of this is we should all tread lightly with everything we think we know, not just in our sides, but also with teasers. And so for me, I just went with, again, this is a week one thing. And yes, they will be barging in here any moment and taking away the wise guy card for going with a teaser leg on the Jets from 4 to 10. By the way, they didn't have the 4.5 yesterday yeah. when we were doing the Megapod. So for me, it's the Bengals and the Jets. But teasers, you know, still a very good way. By the way, teaser, very price sensitive as well.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You are the higher they're making the juice on these, the higher your winning percentage has to be to break even. So shop around for teaser prices because that is absolutely a thing. This two-leg six-pointers used to be even money long ago. Those days are far over. But at least you can look for shops where the juice is muted somewhat. But last year on the Megapod, 13 and 5, 11 and 7 were our teaser records. So still a very profitable way to go. We'll come back. Ed Feng and the 24-Hour Guide to Betting the NFL next.